You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
In working on my new book, I realized I set a bear trap for myself and then stepped right into it. So I'm going to talk about what I did and hopefully give you some guidance on how not to do that. On today's episode, I should be writing Season 18, Episode 21.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my
And hi there, everybody. Welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is a podcast for wannabe fiction writers by a fiction writer. I am Mer Lafferty. I do the show live on Twitch twice a week, Tuesday, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Today is the last Eastern Standard Time it's going to be, and next week, Daylight Savings Time is here, and we'll all be cranky for about a week. At least around here we will. Anyway, after it is live, it goes into the podcast feed about a week later, and everybody else gets to enjoy it. So if you want the longer, chattier, and sometimes considered more fun live experience, you can come hang out with us on Twitch, or you can hear the experience by supporting the Patreon, patreon.com/mightymer, and downloading the episode and listening to it in its entirety. I've been doing this show since 2005, when I had not sold anything. And now I'm about to publish my sixth or seventh book. I always lose count. I don't know why I lose count. Right, I've done three original fiction, two IP, one small press, and then one nonfiction. So I guess I'm going on eight now. I don't know. Numbers are hard, especially right now. I told chat earlier before we started the podcast, but I have a migraine. So anything that's a little bit off or a little bit slow today, that's why. I'm sorry. But yes, this show has basically been me moving through my career and telling you what I learn as I go. Both good stuff and bad stuff, I try. Hopefully more good stuff, but, you know, when bad stuff comes around, I try to be as honest as I can be about it without, you know, committing career suicide. But we like to start the show with holding me accountable and saying what I'm working on. I did get a little over 1,000 words last night after a very full day. And then this morning I got about 550, I think, was the number before I had a meeting. We met with a lawyer today about adult things, and I felt very important and adult. And then I went and bought a bunch of cookies and wine at Target to praise myself for being all responsible and stuff. Because rewards are important, everyone. So yeah, I am working on the book. Hopefully I'll feel a little bit better today and at least hit my word count. But I realized the trap that I'm going to talk about in this episode, and we'll see how to get through that. But first, good news. I'm going to say it again. Premium Mohammed, good friend, assistant editor on Escape Pod, and a frequent visitor to our chat, received a Nebula nomination for her novella. And we found out about it in the last episode on Tuesday, but Premi wasn't here. Premi is here now, and I'm saying under good news that Premi got a novella nomination, and I'm very, very happy for her. So yay, Premi. Yay nomination. The other bit of good news, and this is where things are... Well, that thing I said about trying to tell you stuff without committing career suicide, I got a good email today. And that's all I can say. It is not a guarantee of anything. It is the start of something. And if it continues, that'll be good. And I'll let you know if a good news thing continued. And you know, whenever I do, I am allowed to say anything about it, I will. But, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm always more morose about my outlook on life when I feel like crap. And so I was tired and feeling low today. And then I got an email and I went, oh, well, that things are looking up a little bit. I don't want to say who, because our Discord is a private place, but I will say that we had a story sale announced in the Discord this morning, and I just want to say congratulations to the person who said that. If they're here and they want to say thank you, cool, and if not, that's cool too. Just really, really happy to see people in the community sell stuff. It's great. It's really great. I do yays for rejections, but I do yays for acceptances, of course. So if you have any good news and you're listening to this podcast, email me and put good news in the subject line, or you can tell me, or you can go to the next chat or the next live stream and tell me in chat. Veil Who Fights Cats. Is there a better book than Writing the Other by Nissy Shaw and Cynthia Ward? It feels kind of outdated, and there doesn't seem to be a version written after 2003. I know it's a staple, but is there a better book to recommend to new writers? Are you talking specifically about the things that Writing the Other covers, or are you talking about just good books to recommend to writers? I think going to the website Writing the Other, because I think they've taken that, and instead of doing an update to the book, they just carried the concept into the website where they're covering, you know, they have workshops and they have lectures and they have, they cover fat phobia, they cover disability or ableism, I should say, or writing people with disabilities. And it's expanded the book so wonderfully. Yes, Phased Out's news is he will be a husband in 3 weeks. Congratulations, Phased Out. It's Shauna's mom's 75th birthday, listening with me today. So yay button for Shauna's mom. Yay button, do the button thing. Yay. Happy birthday. Doesn't Day Job understand that Preemie's a Nebula-nominated author? Exactly, yes. Now, if Day Job finds out I am writer, it will change my name and move to Avatar. Run, run! Also, you know, I have to toot my own horn here. I did write a book connected to this podcast called I Should Be Writing. It is, you know, it wasn't a smash success or takeoff, and it's out of print now, but you can still get the ebook. Okay, updates, specifically books like Writing the Other that handled that subject matter, not general writing books. Okay, my bad. I don't know, but I would say going to the site and seeing what they have available there, probably your best bet, because they've made something amazing out of that. Oh, so Heinz Invisible series contains essays from marginalized writers about their struggles. Great. Thank you, Underpope. Craft in the Real World, Rethinking Fiction Writing and Workshopping by Matthew... That's a lot of S's. Celicesses. So that's great. Congratulations, everybody, for birthdays, nominations, sales, and impending matrimony. And anything that you guys might be thinking is a good news, but you either don't want to share it, which is entirely your prerogative, or maybe you don't feel like it's good enough for us to cheer for, which is your decision, because we can't make that for you. But cheers for everybody. We need every little bit of positivity we can grab these days, and we're grabbing it. It's grab time. Oh, someone's dreaming. don't know if you guys can hear that. I can never tell if it's like a good dream or a bad dream or... Dog Cam! We've got some dog treats. We've got the dog... Oh yeah, now he's up. Now he's awake. Yes, you were good. You gave the people what they wanted, which was a dream. And Rosa's right under here, and you definitely can't... There's no camera that's going to show you right under my feet. Yes, yeah, so what happened? I sometimes get an idea to write a character from based on the real world, which is what everybody does. Unfortunately, sometimes I get so connected to the person I'm basing it on that I can't move forward with the character. And sometimes I'm not even like, I don't even have a personality with which to change. You know, like if I base it on a person I know, then you can try to change things or whatever. I did this with Six Wakes. No, sorry. I did this with Station Eternity. One of my Patreon supporters had supported at a level where he got to have a character named after him. And I named a character after him. And then on a rewrite, that character became a much bigger character. And I found I was having trouble writing him because I kept using the name of this Patreon supporter that I knew. You know, I'd met him. And I'm like, I can't... I even though I'm not even picturing him, I can't think beyond the person this is. And I think that's why Tuckerizations are dead people. You know, if someone puts you in a book, you're probably going to be a dead person. And that's... Unless it's David Drake who does it, that's usually considered an honor. That a lot of the dead bodies in... Station Eternity are Patreon supporters. I just went into the Discord one day and I'm like, guys, I need a lot of dead bodies. No one has to up their pledge. Just tell me if you want to be a dead body in the book. So, and I think that's because if you name it after somebody else, you could risk defaming them or putting them in a light that they don't want to be in. Or you could do like what I just did, which is I can't think past what this person looks like. Like, I'm basing it on a real person. I'm basing it on somebody I knew in college. I don't think he's going to come after me and say, why'd you base this entire character off me? If he did, it'd be nice to catch up, but I can't think beyond what he looks like. He's like this void, and I keep trying to... Things are getting violent, and he needs to be reacting to the violence, and he needs to be showing some, you know, indication that he could be the murderer here, because everybody's got to be a suspect. I kept thinking motive, and I'm like, no, motive is the thing that I can't think of have. Everyone's got to be a suspect. That's one of those murder mystery rules. But I can't move beyond. I can't, like, I was even listening to a character book today and talking about finding the flaws in the characters and what they want as opposed to what they need. And usually they're talking about the hero of the book, but that applies to most everybody because everybody's got to have an interesting character and reasons for doing what they do in the book. And I realize this guy's a void because all I can do is picture him. So think of something else. If you find yourself unable to move beyond, oh, it's a guy that jokes all the time and only jokes all the time. And I'm not sure what color hair he has. Or it's you're trying to do a friend a favor and suddenly, you know, you have to imply that they're a murderer suspect, and maybe that's not great. And actually, one of the characters in the book I named as a Tuckerization and forgot about, which is good, Todd. it's good because I was able to write that character the way I wanted to. And then when you reminded me at the end that I'd based it off of her, I'm proud to say that I love this character. I think she's a lot of fun. And I hope that the person you got the Tuckerization for appreciates it. But remember, I completely forgot that that's why she was named what she's named. And so I wrote her without that in mind at all. Yeah, there is one character named after somebody of the Tuckerization that is a full-fledged character. So I hope she likes it. Hey, you want to be a dead body? Yeah. Yeah. Except for David Drake, like I said, he murders the same person in every book. You don't want to question David Drake's service in Vietnam. You don't want to question whether he was there or not. You don't want to question his experience. You don't. Just don't. Trust me. Unless you want to be murdered in every single book he writes. Preemie recently Tuckerized someone who won it as a Kickstarter reward for an anthology. I have no idea what he looks like. His character is the literary equivalent of friendly Twitter rando. Yes, that's easier. Side character, also good. Very side character. Because sometimes, especially in longer works, side characters can sometimes become bigger characters. Because I thought that I was going to introduce... It was Will Ralston. I thought I was going to introduce Will Ralston, and then I thought I was going to kill Will Ralston. And then he didn't die and became a bigger character. And it's... I just told him, I'm like, I have to change this. I'm sorry. And he, of course, was awesome and very understanding, but yeah, it is that. And the same thing goes for one thing I heard many times since 2016 was, if I wrote this in a book, my editor would laugh at me because so many bizarre things happened. And the deal is that life is not narratively tidy. And we, when we read stories, we like things that are narratively tidy. I really love it when The Onion takes this on. I think there was an article several years ago about how one guy's life at 35 makes no narrative sense because, you know, a woman who was very important to him that he dated in college, we haven't seen her. She hasn't come back. She was just like really important at this point in the story, and then she's gone. What the hell? And, you know, if you try to base something in your plot off of something that happened in real life and it doesn't fly, well, it really happened is not the best defense because life is not narratively tidy. So if you find yourself unable to move beyond what you're basing it on, you might have to step back. Lin-Manuel Miranda changed the Hamilton story to be more narratively tidy. There's a couple of things that are switched around in there. I mean, it's even implied he only had one kid, even though the what's-his-face's rap mentions he's got a little sister, but, you know, just completely ignores the rest of Hamilton's family. I think his kid's death in the election of 1800 were reversed. So, you know, it holds together narratively beautifully, but he changed some stuff. So if he can do it, we can do it. And I'm actually not sure what I'm going to do about my problem. I think I'm going to go back and create the character from the beginning. I know what role he has in the story. You know, the fact that he's from the main character's past, from high school, all of that. That stays the same, but who he is, it's got to change because he's kind of a void right now. I'm trying to think of like, okay, well, let's give him a flaw. Well, he's not that. He's not that. He's not that. Okay, give him good things. He's not any of those either. What is he? He's just this person that looks a certain way that I can picture very clearly. You know, that could be it because I'm so bad at visualization. I'm really bad at it. I don't think I specifically have the syndrome. I don't know if it's a syndrome or affectation or what, but some people cannot think visually at all. And I don't think I have that. But when it comes to like imagining something that I have not seen before, you know, just making up a scene in your head, I can make it up in words, but I can't, it's really hard for me to picture it. And a lot of my characters, I can't picture. So the fact that I'm basing this on what this guy in college looked like, could be the thing distracting me. Because maybe I'm just thinking, I picture him and my brain's like, well, that was a lot of work. Good, we're done. I don't know. I don't know why it's there, but at least I've identified that it shouldn't be there and that it is a problem and that I gotta fix it. I've known for a while that I've had a problem with this. It's really funny. And then Ursula Vernon sent me her blurb for Station Eternity, and it had to do with my characters and how awesome they are. And I'm sitting here trying to create a character, and I'm coming up with nothing. And I'm like, did you read the book I wrote? Because I can't do that anymore. If that really was me, I can't do that anymore. Yeah. So, I don't have a whole lot more to say. Just, we get ideas from everywhere. You don't even know that you're absorbing the world around you. You know, which is why it's good to say, read widely. Watch all the awesome things on television. That's storytelling too. Play the games. Experience a bunch of different things because your subconscious is drinking all that in. You know, I wrote a book so heavily influenced by Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy that I didn't even know it. It was down deep in my subconscious from when I was a teenager and read that book many times and listened to the radio plays many times. And then that was the first book I sold to a major publisher, just about monsters and not aliens. So, and didn't even know it. So yeah, you're absorbing things all the time. And you know, I have a rock alien in my book. I have rock, actually they're pretty much the major characters beyond the humans in the book. And I worry that people are going to think that I ripped off N.K. Jemisin, but then I will have also ripped off Dragon Age Origins, and I will have also ripped off Watiti's character in Guardians of the Galaxy, that big rock guy, and The Thing. And another one, I forgot. There are other rock-type people, so yet I'll never say that Jemisin didn't do it better, but I had the influence from a lot of other things than the Broken Earth series. Starvin says, having decided with my current work in progress that I'm just going to have to go back through and add a bunch of visual details to correct all the talking heads and avoid. Yeah, that's what I do. I go back on edits and I make sure. Stephen Barnes gave me this clue, which was, and I guess this is something you do like on way into a story because we don't think in pages when we're doing word processors, but he's like, have something sensory on every page. Not even something that's based on sight or sound, but like have the character smell something or taste something or feel something on every single page, and that will just bring the book to life. So like every 250 words or so, put in some sensory details. But I think I'm going to end the podcast here, and then we can continue with The BarCon, as we're calling the post-podcast chat over at Twitch. Again, twitch.tv/MightyMur. You can hang out with us for free twice a week, Tuesday, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Or you can pledge at Patreon and listen to everything we're going to talk about. Patreon.com/MightyMur. But thank you for listening to I Should Be Writing. This is an indie show. I don't have all the big bucks that are apparently being thrown around to podcasters these days. I'm being supported by y'all. So supporting at Twitch or supporting at Patreon or supporting at Ko-fi really helps me out a lot. And all those are Mighty Mur is my username on all of those. So, or you can check the show notes and blog over at murverse.com. You can pledge at a level to be a dead person. I'm just started killing people off in this new book. Well, yeah, just a lot of blood right now, but the death will follow very shortly. So if you want to be one of those people, then check out Patreon. But if you just want to email me or email me good news or whatever, that's mightymur@gmail.com. And my website is murverse.com. And I finally remembered to put Station Eternity on my website. Yeah, I'm so good at this. So, yeah, that's where you can find my books and my podcasts and everything else that I work on. Because there's a lot of things I juggle. I'll see you next time, next Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Eastern Daylight Time, when we talk about yet something else in writing. And I hope you have a good weekend, because you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at murverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Doctor Who. I'm sitting home watching Doctor Who.